This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
Back here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan, Michael Irvin was on with Sean and RJ this morning, and Cut 21 Shippy here, he told you exactly how he feels week in and week out with the Dallas Cowboys.
Just vacillating from love to hate is hard. You know, every Sunday, I'm in divorce court with the Cowboys. But by Wednesday, I'm back at the altar saying I do again. You know what I'm saying?
Kevin, and that is how I feel a lot of Tolos feel when it comes to the Cowboys every week. It's even if they won, people are like, hey, you didn't win in the right way. Yeah. So 877-881-1053.
That's why you never commit.
How do you handle a loss versus how you handle a win? Because, Kevin, obviously I'm staying positive with these Cowboys for the rest of the way here.
I just want to know how you lose.
I just want to know how you feel whenever you win, because I think people handle that differently too. But how do you feel whenever this team loses? What do you do? Kevin, you shut down. We had a chance, Shippy, to see Kevin after a loss. Was it A&M that lost in the NCAA tournament?
Yeah.
And we had that opportunity to watch that happen, and Colby thought it was hilarious.
All right? I bet he did.
Because Colby, anytime somebody's suffering, Colby totally wants to prod you just a little bit more to see how far he'll take it. And so Kevin was not very happy the entire time. But Kevin, you kind of get down during a loss.
Yeah, and you can feel it coming over you during the game. And quite frankly, I quit paying attention to the end of the Bills game because the Cowboys were getting freaking stomped, and it was Thanksgiving, and I was with my family. And, you know, usually I'll pay like cursory attention to them or pay more attention to them before it starts. But, you know, then the game gets going and you're locked in. But then finally I was just like, all right, I don't even care anymore. So I like went in, sat down with people for dessert and just didn't really pay attention to any of the nonsense that the Cowboys were trotting out there. And so that was one of my things. But I think it definitely, I get frustrated. That's why sometimes I don't like to watch games with people, because I like to yell and sometimes hit things like inanimate objects and just kind of swear really loudly. And that's my process, especially if it's a game where like you're losing a lead or a game that you definitely should have won. Like, you know, A&M lost that lead to UCLA where UCLA came back and scored like 10,000 points unanswered. And so I like to yell and punch inanimate objects.
Oh man. I'm not that violent with things, and I don't even yell during the game that much, mostly because my dog gets frightened whenever I clap now. And I guess over the last,
he would not do well if he was Garrett's pet.
Yeah, he would be terrified of being Jason Garrett's pet. But I guess having kids for so many years too, like babies, I stopped getting loud during games because they were all asleep.
I woke my son up once when he was a kid during the NCAA tournament when someone hit a buzzer beater, a three-pointer. I was like, oh! And then I was like, crap.
Yeah,
and
no.
So then he woke up.
I'm the silent cheerer, I guess, during games, because I don't want to make any noise. I don't want them to freak out and wake up, because I need them to nap, baby. I need some nap time for daddy.
Oh my God, you said that so creepily. From the 469, I have to watch by myself. From the 940, I was so mad I couldn't face my family. I just wanted to sit in silence. I was dating somebody when Duke lost a very terrible loss in the NCAA tournament, and she was like bothering me. Well, I thought she was bothering me, and I was like, you should probably just leave me alone right now. She was furious at that.
One of the things that I always love to see is the text from Colby when the Cowboys have been put in a bad situation, because it's a text that has a picture of a chair probably about 40 yards off into the field.
Oh, yeah.
Outside of his apartment complex, because he usually just throws a chair as far as he can. I guess I don't take it out on others, Kevin, and I don't take it out on.
I took it out on inanimate objects.
I don't take it out on it. I take it out on myself.
Oh, dear.
So
oh,
no. I usually drink during the game. Shippy's been there. We were at the Shark Club. By the way,
we'll be
at the Shark Club tomorrow for the entire day for 10 to 2. And we'll be having a party. It's a Cowboys watching place, man. Trust me. You're going to want to watch the big game between the Dallas team.
You could just say the Cowboys and the Bears.
Dude.
And the Bears tomorrow night. But the I drink during the game, but then if things go really bad, I start drinking heavier at the end of the game so that I can kind of black out by the time the game's over. You know, and the Cowboys love to give you that last second, hey, we might be able to pull it off at the very end here. But I usually like to, so I take it out of myself, Kevin, by drinking heavily and blacking out. So that way, I guess, if I'm asleep on the couch, I can't get mad at anything. So there you go. So that's how I keep from being angry, Kevin.
All right. So this one, I think, is more representative of some of our old and probably still some of our current audience from the 214 massive bong rips to face when the Cowboys lose. From AJ, we went out and hunted pigs, got tired of watching them mess up. Man, I like having something more productive like that. I really wish that, like, when the Cowboys let me down, I went out and builded stuff. Built? There we go. Built stuff. That's how bad I can't even say it right. My house would be so awesome if every time the Cowboys let me down, I built a shelf or something. I could probably go into business selling rocking chairs or shelves or stuff because they perpetually let you down.
Mm-hmm. From the 501, I ground the kids and send the wife to her boyfriend's house after a loss.
Wait, what?
Wait, what's that last part?
Did you say the wife to the...
That's what this guy said. It's not me. I'm not sending my wife to her boyfriend.
Okay.
I want her to stay around. Who knows what she does while I'm asleep on the couch, but even still.
What?
I just assume that she's still sitting there watching something on her phone.
Oh, my God. From the 903, I productively take it out of my family like a good husband and father.
Them chores and then working on getting the house cleaned up. And
So like your kid will be like, sorry, the Cowboys lost. Well, I'm sorry you didn't do your homework. It would be something like that.
Or hey, Dad, I know the Cowboys just lost. Yeah, guess what? We're putting an addition on the house now. So here we go. Let's go do something productive.
From the 817, this person's probably smart. I turn the game off and watch Mrs. Maisel with the Lady. New season coming out on Friday. Plus, that's a pretty good show. And
I'm really looking forward to it.
So, yeah. I mean,
told you to watch that show. It's awesome.
I know. It is a good show. And maybe, like, see, that's what I need to figure out how to do. Is I need to figure out how to be more productive after the loss. Like, instead of just pouting or moping or whatever.
Use it.
Yeah.
Let the hate fuel you.
I know. And it does at work. Like, there's a couple of people that consistently troll me, and, like, they don't realize that just drives me to do even better radio. But, like, I need to do that in my personal life where I'm like, you know what? I'm going to go buy a loved one a gift, or I'm going to write somebody a nice letter because of things like that. But I never do that. Instead, I'm like, everything is stupid, and I hate everyone.
You need to start writing poems.
Oh, nope. I don't want to have, like, my fire burns as hot as ice melts or something stupid like that.
Wow, dude, you need to write that down.
Okay, I will not write that down.
I would buy that poetry book.
The guy who ripped the bong was like, whoa, bro.
877-881-1053. You can text in right now. How do you handle things after a Cowboys loss? Or maybe it's the Rangers. Look, when Game 6 happened, when Nelson Cruz lost. We all felt that.
I definitely blacked out that night.
It was one of those moments where we all had to deal with it.
I would have been able to move on with my life.
Cope with it in our own way. From the 817, I drive to Kroger and cry in the parking lot. Kevin, have you cried in the parking lot yet?
No, just some people send in things. In what world do those people think we would read some of those, okay? There's a couple that I can't read at any time.
From the 817, I'm a Nebraska and Cowboys fan. My liver has barely been hanging on the past decade.
And I hope you're on a transplant list or something.
Yeah, try being a Mizzou and Cowboys fan.
Oh, yeah, that's okay. Somebody from the 817 said clean the house after a loss, and that's what I need to do. I need to meal prep for the rest of the week or clean the house or something. See, I like those kind of productive things. Shotgunning Miller Lights won't help me be a better person.
Because yeah, it will.
I'll just eat all the food and stuff instead of being more productive.
From the 817, you just made me upset bringing up the Nelly Game 6.
Yes!
A lot of people are upset about that right now. Sorry about that. And then from the 817, all I have to say is thank God we have the Mavericks. Yes, the Mavericks are making you feel good about your sporting world right now, and they may never lose again. Unlike the Stars, who are on a four-game skid. And Kevin, after the game, one of the Winnipeg Jets players said, "I wish we could play against them for 82 games."
Patrick Laine.
82. I want all 82 against them because I would be always scoring. He said he would always score if he could just play against those guys, and that's how it works. And then Tyler
Seguin. We've had a couple people text in that that's what they do after the Cowboys lose.
What?
Score?
Always score.
Oh, man, scoring is a good way to go about it. It's a great way to handle your business. If you want to score something big, Kevin, here's what I suggest. Get ready to make a bid.
Oh,
get ready to call in at 877-881-1053. And bid on the KNC masterpiece Bay at the Jared Sandler Swingin' for a Cause event that's going to be going on this Sunday. Now, we're currently up at $1,500, right, Shippy?
That is correct.
So we're currently at $1,500. Kevin, G-Bag is at $1,400, and Sean and RJ are at $800. So we're destroying Sean and RJ right now.
Figures.
Yeah, we're just barely ahead of G-Bag. Here's what I threw out there today. And a lot of people are texting in, so they may not have heard it earlier, Kevin. If we beat Sean and RJ in the G-Bag Nation and you have outbid them, you are the bidder who outbids them, then you will get to spin the Wheel of Misfortune.
Whoa.
Not only will you get to spin the Wheel of Misfortune, you will also get to decide which of us pays off the Wheel of Misfortune. Which one of us will have to do it. If you want all three of us to do it, that's fine. We'll do it. But you get to decide who has to do it. If you have one person that you hate the most because they keep hating on Luka.
And maybe Dirk also.
Or they keep bringing up freaking Game 6.
Then you can decide that they have to pay off the Wheel of Misfortune. That's something that we're going to do. But also, I want to add into there. I got to figure out how to add this in. We also have a dinner at the porch, Kevin.
Yes. I'm actually looking at that right now. You go to 1053thefan.com. You can find everything you need for the Sandlot Charity and Swinging for a Cause. It's only at $210 right now.
That's a sweet deal right now. But this is for the kids, man.
Yeah.
How do you want to make somebody that's competing in the Special Olympics, how do you want to make their life better? How do you want to give those opportunities to them so they can compete in more events and win? And one of my favorite moments, Kevin, was the first year we did this Top Golf tournament. By the way, our Top Golf Bay going to have Brian Broaddus, Mike Adams, and Craig Ludwig. It's known as the Party Bay.
Holy smokes.
A lot of people are saying it's the Party Bay already. But you know, the first time we did this, we had Bubba Franks in our bay. It was awesome to hang out with him. But one of the guys that was with Jared Sandler Swinging for a Cause with Special Olympics, he walked over and he had three medals that were hanging around his neck, and he was so proud of them. And he was talking about how he's won those in Special Olympics, and he never gets the opportunity to do that if they don't have the funding. It is because of things like what Jared's doing that allow them to go all over the country, that allow them to go compete in these events. But you should have seen his face about how proud he was that he had that medal, because that meant the world to him. So if you want to make a bid, 877-881-1053, you can make a bid on our bay, or you can go to 1053thefan.com/sandlot. And you can make a bid on the dinner at the porch that's going to change somebody. It's going to make them very happy. And that's something that, you know, when we did Peace-A-Thon, Kevin, we're a lot of the students that go to My Possibilities compete in the Special Olympics. They have their entire gym class. They work on getting guys ready and getting the girls ready to go compete in the Special Olympics. So this is something that we take near and dear to our hearts, too, because it's something that we're always building up as we get along to Swinging for a Cause.
I believe I'm currently winning at least one, if not two, of the auctions.
Okay. Well, all right. Then did you bid on the dinner with us? Because
no.
I would totally accept that if that's
no,
the case.
No, I did not.
All you have to do, actually, Kevin, is just pay for dinner for me.
There's a Tanya Harding autographed ice skate on there. What? I'm just saying, like, you need to see the variety of interesting things that are on there.
From the 425, I don't believe you are sorry, Corey, because you keep bringing up Game 6. And then somebody said they want me to get tased every time I say Game 6.
That's fair.
Oh, yeah. Can I do that?
That seems irresponsible for me to allow that to happen. From the
what's the price that would make it more responsible?
Now we're talking. Oh, give me an offer.
I just $2,500.
Keep going up.
$3,200.
Keep going up.
$4,100 for Dirk.
We need to start what? 4,100 for Dirk? Okay, I gotcha. So every time I get tased, I get $4,100.
Guys, remember how when
that
happened?
Oh, no, I'm saying if the bay goes for $4,100, we can tase you.
Oh, no.
That was the deal that I was making.
Yeah. Guys, remember when Sean Shreve got tased?
Okay, don't play that part.
James.
That could be you.
That's the same Sean Shreve that he and RJ Chaffee this morning interviewed Michael Irvin. You've been hearing bits and pieces of it. You can radio rewind it, or you can find the interview at 1053thefan.com. Along with the dimensions of the Rangers Park. If you want to see the dimensions for the new ballpark, 1053thefan.com. Coming up next, let's talk all of the college football stuffs, including new rankings and a coach media fight. Thanks, right here on The Fan.
Does Ohio State have three legitimate Heisman candidates? 877-881-1053. We'll get into that in just a moment. We got the G-Bag Nation coming up in about 15 minutes. We'll talk with them to set them up for the entire show. But, Kevin, Paul Feinbaum has been going off on some coaches in the college football world. He started off recently with Nick Saban saying the college or the window for Nick Saban in Alabama is closing. And he said that it wasn't as much about Saban being a bad coach, but that the window is closing tightly. And he said it's been happening very slowly over the past couple years. I think the last couple months we've seen it. It started with a 28-point blowout to Clemson. Saban said we've got to get Alabama factor back, and it didn't happen. It's been a really disappointing season. People are saying, are you kidding? Alabama went 10-2, and they're still ranked in the top 10. But that's the difference at Alabama. And then he went on to say the staff turnover has been a big problem there. They're still number 2 or 3 in recruiting, but they're being pressed by Clemson and Georgia, not A&M. And then he said, I know that everyone will be surprised to know, but he covered Bear Bryant's tenure about 38 years ago as a young reporter, and he said he's starting to see the same things.
So a couple of things for you real quick. Zach Wheeler just got signed by the Phillies, but we already told via Corey that we were eliminated. So I guess that's not that heartbreaking. And then, by the way, in case you missed it, Prince Amukamara looks doubtful for tomorrow night's game against the Cowboys. All right. So two losses for Alabama and the world's over. They're screwed. Might as well shut the program down.
Yeah, no, and that's the way the fans feel. That's entitlement.
They're the Cowboys fans, except they've actually been winning.
Yeah,
so
no,
I guess that didn't really
work. That's complete and utter entitlement as a fan, in that you have a coach that most people would say is untouchable.
Yeah.
Legendary.
Yeah.
And because you've lost two games, this happened to Mac Brown. Mac Brown lost two games every year. Won 10 games every year. Wins a national title for you. But that's not good enough. Nick Saban, how many titles has he won for you?
Six?
50?
Oh, five, and then one at LSU, I believe.
He's won five for you at Alabama, and you're like, no, got to move on? That's just weird. That's a weird sense of entitlement that group has. But I don't understand in college football how a window can close. Here's my reasoning here, Kevin. Every year you have new players. Every year you have a new crop. You're winning and recruiting. You're in the top two or three. You're always getting good players. How does your window close when you're constantly bringing in the best in the country?
That is a really interesting question. I don't know, because you would think like you would just be able to reboot. And quite frankly, like if it wasn't for Tua getting hurt, do you really think they would be in that much trouble?
No.
Or do you think they win that game against Auburn and they're probably still right there knocking on the door of the college football playoff?
I think there are people that are like, well, because we couldn't win with an injured quarterback, clearly Saban can't coach. I'm like, well, that's weird to me. The other one, though, Kevin, it's not about Nick Saban. It's about Dabo Sweeney.
Now, yeah.
I know you're a big fan of Dabo.
He's awesome.
But Feinbaum, again, went off on another college quarterback. Again, we'll get to the guys that could be the Ohio State Heisman candidates. But he said, I don't know, Dabo recently did the whole like, hey, man, we're going to get kicked out of the whole thing if we don't finish undefeated, man. This game's big. They don't even like us. They want to keep Georgia in. You know, I mean, he went off on that. And then here's Paul Finebaum. I think Dabo Swinney is the most annoying winner in all of sports.
Wow!
I mean, the guy just can't keep his trap shut. Somebody just give the man a pacifier, send him to timeout, and we'll check in with him in December 28th when he finally plays a legitimate team during this entire college football season.
Wow. Okay. So we're
is
not...
That, is that true? Do you think Sweeney... He's contending to try and not only keep his team in the top four, but get an opportunity to not have to face the third or second best team.
I did think that Dabo Swinney's complaint about how the college football playoff was trying to keep them out was a bit misguided. You've literally played nobody this year, and you'll play nobody still in your conference championship. Like, be mad at your conference for not being better. Don't be mad at the fact that you have a really weak schedule. And by the way, you're still number three. And by the way, also, how many teams with one loss are even in the top four? It's one in Georgia, and Georgia has some good wins on their docket, and you do not.
Kevin, but you're not a fan of Dabo Swinney?
No, I like Dabo Swinney very much. I just think
you're kind of sick of his crap.
No. I just think in this particular instance, he's being kind of whiny.
Whose crap are you more sick of, his or Saban?
Saban. Oh, yes.
Or Garrett?
Garrett, because it more directly impacts me than Saban. Then Dabo the least, because he's still the person who was like, can we stop calling it Clemsoning?
What about Jimbo? Are you sick of his crap?
No.
Still got that honeymoon feel right now?
Yeah, look, what difference? Everyone's like, you paid your coach that much money. Ha, ha, ha. So, what difference does it make? It came from the boosters. What do you care?
Yeah, all the money you spent didn't get you anything else.
I mean, it didn't cost me anything else either. So, what difference does it make? There's not a salary cap in football. We've proven we can pay our players and our coaches whatever we want through the years. Does that mean that they're going to come here like Eric Dickerson? No.
You got a car.
I know, and he still didn't come here. That's kind of.
What do you mean? It's kind of annoying, or
yeah,
it's kind of.
It is kind of annoying. Like, if we give you a car and you still don't want to come to our school, that's the most humbling thing. People are missing the boat here. They're like, ha ha, you paid Jimbo $75 million and he's not winning a championship. No. It's when we gave Eric Dickerson a car and he said, pass, I'm going to go somewhere else.
5 years, $100 million for Wheeler, Kevin. Is that what you like? Or, I mean, that seems like what we should have been offering.
Yeah, I would have.
So I wonder now if that's a situation of he didn't want to come here.
Yeah, because he said we were ruled out. So
I wonder if it's because they weren't willing to offer that money, or if he didn't want to come here. All right, Kevin, here are the three legitimate candidates from Ohio State for the Heisman Trophy.
Yeah, now, I only know two of them.
The clear favorite right now is Joe Burrow.
Yes.
Like, that's a clear favorite.
Yes.
Chase Young.
Yes. And Justin Fields.
And Justin Fields, the quarterback. But what about running back J.K. Dobbins? Do you think that J.K. Dobbins actually has an opportunity? Now, he's ranked fourth nationally with 1,657 yards, tied for fifth with 19 touchdowns. But that performance against Michigan in Week 14... where he had four touchdowns for the first time in his career and broke the 200-yard mark, stands out pretty well.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I feel like it's one of those things where they're like, if you have three Heisman candidates, maybe you have no Heisman candidates, or maybe you only have one legit Heisman candidate. That seems like too much, and I haven't really heard much buzz for him in terms of Heisman stuff for the bulk of the year. I've heard plenty about Justin Fields, and you've heard a lot about Chase over the last, you know, month and a half or so. I just feel like I haven't really heard a whole lot about their running back being in the mix for a Heisman Trophy, so I'm not entirely sure about that. The other two, I think that they could both be finalists. I mean, they're all going to lose to Joe Burrow, but they could still be finalists. Now, I wonder if they can make an impact at all this weekend or kind of change that narrative, because this weekend, as you know, we have both the SEC and Big Ten championship games right here on 105.3 The Fan. And both of those will have a direct impact on who makes it to the college football playoff. So I think LSU is good either way. But if Georgia wins, they'll be the fourth team. It'll be LSU and Georgia. If Ohio State wins, they're in. So you got to think Ohio State, LSU, Clemson. If LSU beats Georgia, Georgia's out. Who will it be? I keep hearing this nonsense about, well, it's going to be Utah. Is it? Are you sure? It'll depend. Utah plays Oregon Friday night. Oklahoma plays Baylor on Saturday. My contention is if any one of those three teams has the most overwhelmingly impressive victory, they will get the number four spot. So don't just automatically think Utah is going to make it, especially over Oklahoma. Let's not pretend that like TV execs aren't kind of looking in there and like whoever has the best performance this weekend, that's who will get in.
Kevin, we have some new information. Is this breaking news, Shippy, or is this just new great information?
I think it's new great information that has not been heard before yet.
Okay. All right, Kevin.
Oh.
This is new great information. Earlier today, the KNC Masterpiece on the KNC Masterpiece Facebook page. Hold on. This is the breaking news music, so I have to say it, right?
No.
Okay.
No, this is the new information.
We released the information about the new stadium and the dimensions. And Kevin, there's what 30 feet of difference around the entire stadium.
Yeah, and then the biggest note is left center. I think there's an 18 foot difference.
The power alleys have gotten shorter, and that means more bombs from guys like Mazzara, if he's still on the team, and Joey Gallo and Delino DeShields and stuff like that. So we're looking forward to it. But the new information, Kevin. The Texas Rangers, at Rangers, just tweeted out their jerseys for Sunday this year.
Oh.
Have you seen this yet?
I have not. Are we bringing back the red?
Kevin, they are bringing back Gaylord Perry blue.
Wow, the powder blue?
They are bringing back the powder blue, even the powder blue pants.
Those are their Sunday home jerseys.
With the blue, white, the blue on the outside, red on the outside, white on the middle stripe down the side of the pant leg. The Rangers patch on the left shoulder, the Rangers in cursive across the front of the jersey with white lettering, the dark blue trim, and then the red shadowing to go along with it. And that is going to be, if y'all have never understood why Eric Nadell is such a brilliant pro at play-by-play, he will describe it in that way. He will describe the sleeve that's just hanging out from underneath the jersey on whatever pitcher there is and the color of his glove.
This might sound weird, but I love it when he describes the clouds on the day. I mean, you're not going to be able to see them.
Yeah, but you can imagine them.
On a lot of days, but.
Yeah, Kevin, this is, even the pants are the powder blue color, as well as the Rangers jersey that's just been released. This thing looks awesome, dude. And I guess this is just for Sundays. From what I'm told, this is just their Sunday best.
Yeah, Sunday home.
So their Sunday home. Now, what hat are they going to wear? Are they going to wear the blue hat?
It's the blue hat. I see it right here on at 105.3 The Fan on Twitter and 105.3thefan.com. Joey Gallo is rocking the powder baby blue, and he's got a baby blue hat on as well. So check that out.
Oh, yeah, I just saw that there. Yeah,
Delino's rocking the red. It looks like Woody's got the all-white jersey, and then I can't see who the other people are, but... Yeah, really, really dope jerseys.
Gallo is wearing a powder blue hat to go along with that, man. This is going to be awesome. This is going to be awesome. I'm looking forward to it.
I have to admit, I am also pleased by this. I was really hoping they would bring out the reds, and that's not to say they couldn't ever trot those out there. Just because that's like the era from the new ballpark opened and when I was really, really loving the Rangers and they were having their first like semblance of success and making it to the playoffs and everything like that. But still, that's pretty awesome. I feel like a lot of people are going to dig it.
The home whites, Kevin, will have Rangers across the jersey as well in the cursive. And the patch will have a 2020 inaugural season patch on the side. This thing, this is looking sweet. The blues are great. The grays are great. But, yeah, man, if you go to 105 through the fan, at 105 through the fan, it says Rangers across the jersey. I got to get one of those powder blue hats right now. I need that in my life right now. Somebody figure out how to get one of those on my head. I need that lid, Kevin.
Okay, let's make it happen. And by the way,
I'm going to wear that whole jersey around.
I'm going to wear the whole uniform every day to work.
Because I can.
It's my uniform from now on at work, Kevin, during baseball season.
Will you wear it to Swinging for a Cause? By the way, as long as we're bringing up as long as we're bringing up baseball stuff, alleged drug lord Cesar Emilio Peralta has been arrested in connection with the David Ortiz shooting.
Whoa!
So for people who thought like that definitely wasn't just some random thing or anything like that, Peralta has been wanted by the FBI in connection with drug trafficking since last year, and he got taken into custody in Colombia in connection with the David Ortiz shooting. So there's that as well. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, live from Hobbytown, let's talk with the G-Bag Nation. Maybe get some instant Rangers uniform reactions. Next right here on The Fan.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.